Let's read Acts 7, verse 4, 5, and 6, together at verse 4. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as his set foot on it. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring him into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. All right, what in verse chapter 7? Yes, Anna?
What was that, Anna?
We're on 7, verse 4. Chapter 7, verse 4. Yes, John?
Okay, I know the times that God pulled Israel into a foreign land to go under great distress and harm was majority because of the sin that they had committed.
Yes.
That they had committed beforehand.
Uh-huh.
But in the enslavement of Israel in Egypt, they had not done any great national sin. So what was God's purpose in putting them through distress since they hadn't done any great sin like they did the other times, like with Babylon and Assyria?
Well, they had gone into Egypt wrongfully. God said he could supply the needs in Palestine. They went into Egypt. And, of course, they should have left Egypt. They had many opportunities to leave Egypt. They went out of Egypt from Palestine and Jerusalem, came down here and dwelt there for 400 years. They should have gone back. They had opportunity to go back when Joseph died. They brought the bones of Joseph back to Canaan. They could have all left and stayed there. They didn't. They went back. That's why. So the question is, the reason that they stayed 400 years, God tells us in Genesis, because the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. And so God waited patiently, Israel down here in Egypt for 400 years plus. And when the Amorites' anger was full, then God, through Moses and then Joshua, went into the land to destroy and judge these Amorites and the Canaanite nations that had been against him. Yes, Anna?
Well, they could have left when the famine was over.
They could have left? When the famine was over, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, then they could have left. That's true, they did. So, chapter 7 is the... Who's speaking here in chapter 7? Who's speaking in chapter... Stephen. What was Stephen's office in the church? What had he been asked to do? Yes?
He was a deacon.
Anna? Deacon? All right, and he was... why was he there before the council? Why was he there before the council?
Because they thought he had done something wrong and he was a Christian.
Well, he's a Christian, and they stirred up the people and the Alexandrians. And in verse 8 of the preceding chapter, chapter 6, verse 8, he was full of faith and did miracles. And people from the synagogue, the Libertines, Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, they stirred up the people. So they got him before the council. What is this council?
Sanhedrin.
Sanhedrin, right? And what did the council do, the Sanhedrin do? What was the purpose of that council? All right, they were judges of different things, civil law, religious law, and so on. And so the high priest asked if these things were so concerning Stephen, and so he's speaking. He's giving a history of the Israelites, and he talks about in verse 2 that God of our fathers selected Abraham. Remember last week we talked about Abraham, and where was Abraham from originally before he went to Canaan, Palestine?
Ur of the Chaldees,
way over here. And then the word is used, Mesopotamia, you see there? And what did we say that meant?
Between the rivers.
Meso is between the rivers.
See up there on the map where he's pointing out? Show Matthew.
See Matthew here? Here's Ur of the Chaldees, and the Tigris and Euphrates River are right here. So he lived between these rivers, see these big rivers? And that's what those, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers are right here. So this is between the rivers, Ur of the Chaldees, Mesopotamia, that's what it's called. Then he went up to Haran, or Charan as it says here, which is... right, see, where's Haran on the map?
I found it last week.
I was here last week. Did it disappear?
Besides the
Manticus,
I can't remember.
Well, it's up here. I don't know whether it was here last week. Haran is up in the north part.
To the east, where your pointer is.
East?
East, go more, one more, right there.
Oh, that's here, Haran, yeah, right there. That dot right there. Haran, thank you. That's where Abraham, remember in chapter 12, he was told to go out into a land where I will show thee. And his father Terah died in Haran. And he stayed with his father Terah. Now, God really wanted to go all the way down here, but he waited for his father. What does Terah mean in Hebrew? Anybody know?
What is it?
Terah. T-E-R-A-H. What does that mean in Hebrew? It means delay. And apparently his father delayed him from being obedient to the word of God and the will of God. So that's Mesopotamia in verse 2. And God said unto him, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred. Now notice in verse 3. Last week we talked about his kindred. What does kindred mean?
Friend or
family. Family, usually family. And did he get completely away from all of his family when he left? What members of the family came with him?
Lot and his wife.
His nephew, which is Lot.
And his wife.
His father. His father, Terah. Right?
And his wife.
Yeah, Sarah was there also. So we had three people that came out of the land with him. So he didn't complete. A land I will show thee. Had Abraham seen maps of this land of Canaan before he left Ur of the Chaldees? Did he see maps here before? When you go on a trip, do you usually know where you're going before you go? Right? Most of us do. And you plan a motel or place to eat or place to stay, where you're going. Abraham wasn't that way. God was going to be his guide, his map, and show him exactly where to go. So he led him through that path. All right, now we're finally at verse 4 where we begin today. Came to the land of the Chaldeans. He got out of the land of the Chaldeans. What does Chaldean mean? Diana?
He could have crossed the river and then go straight.
Okay.
That's not the way he went.
See, now, why did Abraham not come across this light green place? That's a desert. That's the Arabian desert, isn't it? It was very, very dry. No water, no very hot sun, and couldn't have anything to eat. So he couldn't come. So he had to take this, they call it the Fertile Crescent. The Fertile Crescent. It's like a crescent, shaped a crescent. It's fertile because it's green and things grow. Hannah?
So he lived in the desert?
No. He lived here in Ur of the Chaldees, which was nice and green. It was fresh.
And it wasn't real green on the map.
Well, it's darker green than this. See, this is lighter green, see? That may be a little light, too, but anyhow.
Same color.
It's about the same color. Well, down here it's a little bit darker. See, like this? Like this. It's a little light. Well, I don't know. It's darker now. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's just that green.
It's a wrinkle.
Yeah, wrinkle. It's a wrinkle. Okay, it is a wrinkle. You're right. That's a wrinkle. Be that as it may, we know that he had plenty of food, and there are a lot of cities there, and there's trees, and it was a good place. Rivers and things, so they had plenty of food. So he went there, and the Chaldeans is another word for Babylonians. Now, there's a Hebrew Chaldee dictionary. Yes, Ricky.
I heard a story about the desert thing. Before, around when they were visiting the opposite, but before it was very popular, only a couple of people had them. So with that, they could pass through the desert. And the reason they couldn't actually go through the desert because they would always get lost through it. And then there were like a couple of people, they called them magic men because they assumed that they knew how to get through. And they could actually guide people because they had the compass.
All right. It's good to have a compass to get through the desert, but there's a number of miles in regard to that. To see, here's the statue of the miles right down here. The statue of miles, here's 100 miles, that part here. So 100 miles, 100, 200, 300, 400. And camels need water. They can go a long way without water, but difficult if they had a compass to get through with all the food and so on. So that wasn't the way that men traveled in those days. Just like us today, many times we don't go the straightest route. We go the route wherever the roads are. We don't go across the roads and so on. That's obvious. So Chaldeans, there's a Hebrew Chaldee dictionary which has the Chaldean as well as the Hebrew, and that's what this Chaldean, it's a Aramaic dictionary as well as a Hebrew. A few verses are in the Old Testament written in Chaldean or Aramaic, just a few. In the book of Daniel there's some, in Ezra and Nehemiah. So they went to that. Now, notice in verse 4, what is the situation as far as his father? What was his father's name again? Terah, all right, and what does it say about his father in verse 4? All right. He waited till his father died. When his father was dead, what did Abraham then do?
He
went into the land. We're in ye now, but who's the ye referred to?
The people he's speaking to.
People he speaks to. Where is he talking? What part of the country is he in?
He's in someplace.
Where is Stephen? Where's the council? Where are these Herodians and Alexandrians?
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem. All right, Jerusalem is right in this area here. So he moved after the father died in Haran. He moved to the land where ye now dwell, which is right there in Jerusalem. And that's where he is. All right, so that's the picture. Stephen's telling me to counsel this. And in verse 5, did he give him an inheritance? Did he give him an inheritance? Okay, non-inheritance. Yet he was promised that he would give it to him for possession. Who's the he? Refers to the Lord, promised, right? To give him an inheritance. Didn't give him an inheritance yet, and to his seed after him when he was yet had no child. How can God give a land to your children when you don't have a child? It's a promise, wasn't it? So he believed. Did Abraham believe God's promise?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He believed God and was counted in him for righteousness, Anna.
Well, it's an act of God.
Yes, an act of God. A promise that's fulfilled is an act of God. It's a miracle that he had children. But now notice, he did not give him the land he said he would give it in the future, see. And that's important. And then verse 6, he told that... How long would his... What does it mean, his seed? What is his seed? His descendants, his children. What does it mean to sojourn?
Travel.
Is it travel? Sojourn? I may have a little travel. Is it some temporary travel? Sojourn in a strange land. Sojourn means also to stay. Does it not travel and sort of stay and camp out? Temporary. Temporary staying. Strange land. What was that strange land? What was the strange land? Babylon. It's where they eventually came from and went to by the judgment of God. Strange land would be Egypt, see? Moving from this Jerusalem to a strange land. He said he would move them. And how long did he keep them there? 400 years. That's a lot of time, isn't it? Now, and let's read verse 7, 8, and 9 together. You're going to get 7. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of the circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the 8th day. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. All right, in verse 7, what did God promise to the nation that they were in bondage for 400 years? What did he promise?
Judgment.
He would judge them. Did he judge them? In what way did God judge Egypt?
A lot of the men perished when God had the water come down. A lot of the army perished.
Well, that was in the after the flood from Egypt and the great in the Red Sea. Anna?
The plague.
The plagues. How many plagues were there in Egypt?
10.
10 plagues. And this was a judgment on mostly on the gods of Egypt. We read in the book of Psalms, the gods of Egypt, every one of those, the flies, and the different ones, the cattle and rain, and different ones, the darkness, all things were on the gods of Egypt. And so God promised to judge that land. What about the judgment?
Name all ten.
Name all ten. Well, you want to start in?
Water and blood. Is that the first one?
Water, okay. What changed the, well, that was a sign. But I guess he did make the rivers of blood too, didn't he? So rivers in the blood is one.
Frogs
is one.
Killing firstborn.
Killing firstborn is the last.
The
locust.
Flies.
Flies. Darkness. Murrain on the cattle. Boils on man. I don't. Maybe it's the same. Murrain and boils.
No, it's not. Cattle.
What else? Anything?
How many do we have? Eight.
You have 7. You got 3 more.
Locusts
and frogs. Is moraine and boil separate? I know the cattle were judged. Hail. We forgot the hail.
Oh, yeah.
Hail? Anything else? Boils, was that different than moraine on cattle?
Yeah,
No, we did moraine. I didn't add it. So now we got the boils. There's one more. Well, I said it, but I didn't count it in my finger.
See it.
What? So there's one more we left out. All because we'll want us to cut it up. We'll do it. We'll take a look at it. Chapter 12, 13, 14, along in there, maybe even before that. I guess 12 was the Exodus, so it'd be probably maybe 10, 9 along in there. What is it?
Crops.
The crops were burned up.
Darkness, that's what it was.
Darkness, we left darkness.
We
got darkness, all right? Go back to Exodus. See if we can get this contest with. All right. The demand, contest with Pharaoh, first judgment, smote the river, and all the waters were turned to blood. That's one. That's the first judgment. Blood. Second judgment is frogs. And 8 verse 6 of Exodus. The third judgment is in 8 verse 16. The dust became lice. I don't know why we had the lice. Lice. You've heard of fried lice.
I think the lice fried them.
Maybe. And then the fifth, the fourth judgment was a swarm of flies in 8:24. And the seventh miracle was the 30, verse 30. You see, swarms of flies. Did I say flies already?
Mm-hmm.
That was already the flies. All right. The fifth judgment in chapter 9 was the cattle, rain on the cattle. That's right. That was the cattle. And that's the fifth judgment. The sixth one is in verse 8, ashes, and it should become the dust, the blains upon man. See, that would be your blains or boils on man. Seventh judgment, verse 22, hail. In chapter 10, the next one,
Well, the sixth one is boils. You've got that mixed up with the ashes, because the ashes became boils when it was sprinkled on the.
So the is not the same?
That's in 11, so that's the ashes and boils is 6.
The ashes and boils are 6.
Seven is the hail.
Chapter 9, verse 8, with the sixth judgment, is the dust that becomes boils.
And then in 11, it becomes the boils.
Okay, so that's the boils. That's the same thing.
That's 6.
That's 6, all right, and that's right. And then 7 is over 8, verse 22.
Verse 18. Chapter 9, 18, green the sail.
9:18. I thought the seventh judgment was 22. That is hail. That's same hail. Okay. That's 7. Let's go to 8. Chapter 10 and 8 is verse
4.
Verse 12, isn't it?
Well,
locusts. Starts
in verse 4. Okay, and that would be the locusts, all right? And then the 9th would be darkness, and then finally the 10th would be the death of the firstborn. So you did judge. Let's go back to Acts chapter 7 and verse 7.
So
what do you got? Yes.
Next time we should name them in order.
Next time we got to name them in order?
Next time we'll get them in order.
I was thinking
in alphabetical sequence.
Yes, Anna?
No, I'm not going to.
Well, the difference between moraine and boils are, well, moraine is a contagious disease of cattle, but boils are in humans.
All right, so one is cattle, one is human. That's true. Now, in verse 7, Acts 7, verse 7, what did God say then after he would judge the nation? What did he promise to do?
They will come forth.
They will come forth and leave Egypt. And what else will they do? He promised to do what else in verse 7?
Serve
the Lord. Now, was it an easy job to come forth out of Egypt?
Not at all.
Why? What?
In whose perspective?
From the, well, any military.
Wasn't God then having trouble with it?
No, but did the people have trouble? Did the people have trouble?
They was lucky.
Did the Israelites have any problems leaving Egypt? How many people came forth? How many men plus women and children?
600,000
men plus women and children. Could be 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. Could out of Egypt. That was a great thing for them. On foot, or did they have automobiles? Did they have buses? Did they have cars? No.
They were in one accord.
In one accord.
That's later.
That's later, okay. So they came out. The first barrier was the people themselves. Did the people of Israel want to leave Egypt?
No.
No, they did not. They had never had it so good.
Was that, that wasn't the first time he was in Egypt, though, was it?
Who?
He was in
was
Abraham.
That?
He was in
no, he went out of Egypt lying about Sarah, yeah. being his sister. And that's when a famine. There was a famine, and he went back, see? And these people could have come back after the famine, that's true. So it was difficult. The first thing was the people themselves. They resisted leaving. They wanted to stay there, right? Secondly, Pharaoh wanted to stay there, right? That's the second bunch. He didn't want to leave. What was it that changed Pharaoh's mind? Anna?
The very last plague.
Last plague, the death of the firstborn, including Pharaoh's firstborn. Get them out of there. Then Pharaoh changed his mind. So what's the next plague? Barry. Barry was soldiers running after them. Did they catch them?
No.
How did God provide that they wouldn't catch them?
He put the cloud in front of them, and Moses held up the stick, and the waters were divided, and they crossed.
Well, even before that, how did the Lord prevent the Egyptian armies from getting the Israelites and killing them? Did they want to kill them? Yes, they did. What was the means that God...
There was a cloud of dust, and they couldn't see them.
Well, a cloud of... Well, it wasn't necessarily a dust, but a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians and a cloud of light for the Israelites. So the same cloud, half dark, half light. And that prevented the Egyptians from getting too close. Yeah, Bob?
Do you think they wanted to kill them or bring them back because they were
rivers? Well, maybe bring them back. Could be. Probably instead of killing them. Maybe the soldiers would have killed one or two, bringing them back. But
yeah.
You're right. They probably want the slave labor. They were good slaves. Yes, Anna?
They might have killed the men.
Might have killed the men. And kept the women alive. That's possible.
Women and children.
And children alive, possibly. What was the next barrier? They had the armies following them. They had the people's resistance, Pharaoh's resistance. What was the next barrier after the sea? The Red Sea, all right? And the Red Sea was parted by the Lord. They were shut in. And then after that, they sent to find out what the land was like up in Canaan. Who did they send out for that?
Joshua, Caleb, and 10
others. What was the report of these 10 spies when they went out to see the land?
Giants.
Giants? Is that it?
They were scared.
They were scared.
But the other two said, it's good.
All right, what were the other two's names again?
Joshua
and Caleb. So they reported well. So since they didn't go up there, they didn't wonder, they thought they would be killed and slain, did they ever change their mind? Now be careful. Did the Israelites and these men ever change their mind when they first said, we don't want to go, it's too hard?
Yeah.
They did change their mind. Did they try to go up after them? They did. Mm-hmm. Were they successful in combating them? No, they were not.
Was that
it was too late. No, this was going up. See, they wanted to go into the land. They didn't go into the land, and then it was not a success. God has a timing about the thing. So what did God then condemn that generation to do, and how long did he condemn them for?
To wander.
Where were they going to wander?
40 years.
All right, in this wilderness, right here. 40 years. And what was the age limit where the Lord cut that thing off?
20.
I believe it was 20. Everyone 20 and under was spared, and 20 over 20 was slain and killed. Were the Israelites that went into the land in the 40 years more in number or less than when they left at the end of 40 years? More or less the number, total numbers? They were less. God decimated them. That's a big word for they made them less. The Lord judged them, killed off the older people. Normally, you'd expect them to be a lot more. 40 years of 1 million, 2 million people populating that thing of Imbar, but all those were done. So, in the book of Numbers, it tells us, when they went in, so much. When they went out, so much. And so, there was a diminution of the people. Yes, Anna?
There were more babies born.
Oh, yes, more babies born. That's true. But you see, the 20 and under were spared. Why did God spare only the 20 and under? Perhaps, of course, at the age of 20, you'd think they'd get to know it once in a while.
But
something to do with maturity and understanding. And the 21 plus, he slew because they were rebellious against the Lord. All of them perished in the wilderness. So then they went into the land of Canaan, and it says, I will bring you in after I judge them. I will bring you in. And what else was it supposed to do with those people in verse 7? When he got them in there, what were they supposed to do in that land?
Eliminate the inhabitants of all right,
then, yeah, that's first, after they were slaves, the Canaanites. Is that just of the Lord to slay those that he slew? Is that just of the Lord to slay whom he slew?
He's in charge.
He's in charge. Can God do anything unjust?
No.
No, he cannot. When he gave the order, that order was fulfilled, and he was just, he's a just God, isn't he? Always righteous in all his deeds. The same justice that people ask about, can he send people to hell that reject the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he just or unjust in sending people to hell or having them go to hell themselves? Is he just or unjust? He's just. You see, we've got to figure the justice and righteousness of God. It's important to see. So the Canaanites were just. What else were they supposed to do when they went in there? According to verse 7, the last part of verse 7.
Yeah.
Serve the Lord. And what did Abraham do the first time he got into that land? He built an altar. That was part of worship to the Lord, service to the Lord. And the sacrifices were made of clean animals. This was part of the worship of the Lord. And that's one of the... Now, yes, Anna?
He said Abraham.
Abraham? As soon as he went in. That's right. As soon as Abraham went into the land, when he first came, he built an altar. And then when the Israelites, Joshua came in, that was another, I'm thinking of Abraham, when he first arrived in Golden Altar, that's what he's supposed to do when he went into the land. Then even the ones that came back under Joshua, they built an altar. Remember, there was a schismatic altar called an Ed. Remember, there were two and a half tribes, wanted to be on the east side of Jordan. And the nine and a half tribes were going to be on the land of promise. Remember that? So they built an altar, so there's a battle. But they were to serve the Lord. What is the purpose?
That's one of the hardest things to explain to a non-believer, how the divine right of God to say kick one group out of the land or kill one group and the other group take over.
Yes.
And that people that are cannot accept the divine right of God to
yes.
do that cannot accept that idea.
That's true.
It says that land belongs to them. Israelites had no right to it.
That's right.
Except that we believe that God said, this is your land.
He's promised it to them through Abraham. Hadn't possessed it yet, but promised it. Yes,
I believe it illustrates the fact that the land did not belong to the other people. The land belonged to God.
Yes.
God can give it to whom he wishes.
Yes.
And that's God's way of telling us, you may think you own this land, but you do not. This is my land. I let you use it.
Right. So there's a big problem even today in the land.
I mean, he could say that here.
What is that?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say right here in this country?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's possible. Yeah, Anna?
Now, when the state says that the car is theirs, the raw materials God created, so it's his.
All right, he created the raw materials, the land, and everything about it, so it's his land, that's right.
His car.
Pardon me?
His car because he needs the raw materials of the car.
Of the what?
Car.
Oh, the car. You mean the car?
Yeah, he needs
the
raw materials.
Well, that's true. Well, talking about service in that part of verse 7, what does the Lord expect of those that he saves and redeems in this particular age? What does he expect of those that he saves and redeems?
Fruit.
All right, and what does he want us to do with our lives?
Serving.
Just the same as he would. Serve me in this place.
Serve means be a servant.
Be a servant, that's right, be a servant. And then in verse 8, what covenant did God give to Abraham? What is a covenant anyway?
Promise.
All right. And what was the promise or covenant that he gave to Abraham? The circumcision was the covenant to Abraham. And he circumcised Abraham and his son Isaac. And then how many sons did Abraham have? How many sons did Abraham have? At least to start with. But the first two he had two. And then he went to Keturah and said other sons of Keturah. But the first wife... Isaac was born from Sarah and Ishmael from Hagar. So he had two main sons, and then he branched out, right, Dan? With Keturah, the other son. And so he talks about Jacob then having how many sons? Verse 8. Jacob had how many? 12. And what was the other name for Jacob?
Israel.
Israel. Jacob was his human name, and Israel is the name that God gave him, his spiritual name, you might say. And so this is just going over the history of how God had led his people. And then in verse 9, what does this patriarch, what does that mean, patriarch, the 12 patriarchs?
Fathers.
Well, father is part of the word, patriarchs, pater. What's our
rulers?
Rulers, our leaders and rulers. The fathers were the leaders of the home, weren't they? And so the 12 patriarchs, 12 tribes, we call them. And what about these 12 patriarchs? What did they do in verse 9? And why did they do it?
They were jealous.
They were jealous, envious of Joseph.
They sold him.
They sold Joseph. The 11 ganged up against the one. The one was left back. That's right. One was left back. Benjamin was left back. But 10 of the brothers hated and were envious of Joseph and sold him where?
Slavery
into Egypt. And what does it say the last part of that verse? What is it?
Initially, the Midianites, is that right?
Pardon me?
Initially, the Midianites. The Midianites.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They ended up in Egypt.
That's right. They sold Joseph into Egypt. So the scriptures say he was sold into Egypt, and he went through an intermediary way of the Midianites and so on, and then finally, but he sold into Egypt. He went into Egypt, he was sold as a bond slave and arrived there. What does it say about the rest of verse 9? What's the last part of verse 9? God was with him. Can God be in two places at once?
Yes.
He can be in Egypt and be in Palestine and be in Ur of the Chaldees, the United States, and Cherry Hill, Collegewood, Washington, D.C.
But the devil can't.
The devil can't be in more places at a time. But his evil spirits are different places. They can also be
there.
They're manifold. They can be, but only in one place at a time. So, but the Lord can be everywhere. What's that attribute of the Lord called?
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent, all right? He's omnipresent, everywhere present. So God was with him. Now, what's the difference between God being with him and simply being omnipresent? Is this only omnipresence as far as Joseph was concerned? What does it mean God was with him? Yes, Dan?
He guided his path.
He guided his path. He was there to bless. He was there to control and to guide and so on. He was with him in a real, present, helping way, you see. God is with the whole United States of America, the whole world, in the sense of omnipresence. But is he with the worldlings in the sense that this is? What does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel. God with us. Emmanuel is with us, and El, God, with us, God. Now, the Lord Jesus was in this world. He was with us, God. God was with us. But that was more than his omnipresence. He was here in a person. And God with it. And so, though the Lord is with, in the sense of being omnipresent with the entire world, he's not with them, he's against them when they reject Christ. All right? Not with him in that sense. Yes, Anna?
What name means God is with us?
Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
With us, God. I
thought
you said that was a definition.
Yes, with us, God. Yes, sir. Emmanuel is with us. Nu is the us. Im is with. Im, u, Emmanuel, that's with us. And then El is God, with us, God. That's the Hebrew word. The Hebrew reverses the order. In English, we say God with us. They say with us, God. That's the difference. Emmanuel. He was with him. And then in let's read verse 10, 11, and 12 together. And delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt, and Canaan had great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent our fathers out first. All right. Sent out our fathers first. Now, verse 10, what did the Lord do for Joseph in Egypt? By the way, why did the brethren sell them to Egypt? And why did his brothers, his 10 brothers, sell Joseph? For envy.
And they were afraid to kill him.
Afraid to kill him. Why were they afraid to kill him?
Because they considered that to be a sin.
Be a sin to kill him. So what did they do? How did they dispatch him? Were all the brothers in the same accord? Speaking of one accord,
there was one that said, "Don't kill him."
Don't kill him.
Sell him.
And there was one that was involved.
There was one that was involved. Now, what did they first do before they sold him to the Midianites? Put him in a great big pit, didn't they? and in a well and a pit. And so when the man, I guess it was Reuben.
It was dry, wasn't it?
I guess, yeah, it was dry. It was a well, it was a pit. That's why it was a pit, but it was an empty dry well. But I think it was Reuben was absent. Reuben did not want them to sell him. He was going to give him back to his father and going to change their whole brother's mind. But they had sold him before he ever got there. And then it says he had this covenant in verse 8 and sold him in Egypt. And verse 10, I had a question. I forgot what the question was. Sold him in Egypt. Oh, yeah. The motive of God. What was the motive of God for putting Joseph in Egypt? What was God's purpose? Did God's purpose, was it the same as the ten brothers' purpose?
No.
Envy? What was his purpose?
He meant it for good.
He meant it for good. And Joseph tells his brothers that when he revealed it to him in the book of Genesis. And you meant it for evil, God meant it for good, to deliver all these people. If Joseph had not gone to Egypt and these things had not happened, what would have happened likely to the Israelites and the promise of God? Amen?
Is it possible that God could have communicated Joseph in Israel, in the nation, in the country where he was at, not have to go to Egypt to do this? God, why could they build warehouses and barns there where they were?
It's possible.
The same thing they did in Egypt.
Yeah.
To do it.
It's certainly possible. He could have done that, but he didn't. Yes, John?
God so knowing, powerful, and his accomplishing his purpose for Joseph was a means, but if Joseph didn't go to Egypt, God still would have accomplished his purposes, because his accomplishment of his purposes are built not so much on us, but upon him and the fact that what he wants will get done based on his sovereignty.
Well, based on his sovereignty, that's right, Anna.
Maybe God had Joseph go to Egypt because there was something good out of it, but we haven't seen the good out of it yet.
Well, we have saw the good of it for the deliverance of his people. But one other thing you must remember, he promised, and this narration in verse 6 of Stephen, he promised that they would be in bondage for 400 years. Now, in the book of Genesis, he will come out, and it says, remember, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it was not God's purpose to have his people there in abundance at this point. He wanted to put them down here so he could show his power, he could show his deliverance, and also at the proper time, come and through Joshua and the leadership, judge these Canaanite people that were very, very wicked sinners and possessed the land. So there was a timing in God's... Yes, Tammy?
Well, there was a certain judgment that he was able to exert on the nation of Egypt.
That's true.
At that time, was a very, very great power.
That's right. There's a great power, and so God had to judge Egypt first, and then judge the Canaanites second. And this was accomplishment of his word. And in the meantime, protect the seed that was promised in Genesis 3:15. I will put an end to my seed, he told the serpent, Satan in other form, and your seed. And it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. And so this judgment, Satan was there, and the people had to be spared. It had to be a true seed. Yes, Anna?
And the serpent, the poisonous ones,
The poison serpents attacked the Israelites in many, many things in the wilderness. Well, the poison serpents attacked the Israelites in the wilderness. That's true. All right. And then in verse 10, what did God do with Joseph? He was with him, and then it explains how he was with him in verse 10. What does it mean, delivered him out of his afflictions? What affliction did Joseph meet with in Egypt? Hold on.
He's thrown in jail.
At first, he was sold into what person's household?
Potiphar.
Did he do a good job for Potiphar?
Yes.
He did a very good job. Excellent. When was he banished from Potiphar's house?
When his wife tried to get him into immorality.
Potiphar's wife tried to get him to immorality. And Joseph refused, and then did she tell the truth about it?
No, it was easy for her to lie about it because as he left, she grabbed his clothes and he just allowed it to be pulled off.
All right. He left his garment in her hand, and then she lied to her husband, saying he tried to rape me, tried to force me. And with that, what happened to Joseph after that false charge?
So they threw him in jail.
Threw him in jail, right? And how did Joseph get out of jail?
It was understood that he was able to interpret dreams of other inmates who had gotten out and went before the king.
Okay, what two inmates' dreams did he interpret it in?
Baker
and the butler. And the butler, okay, Baker and butler, whatever. Did he interpret correctly the Baker and the butler?
Yes.
He said both of them be released. What would happen to the butler?
Be restored
to his place as cupbearer of the king. What would happen to the baker?
He would be killed?
He would be killed because there's baskets on his head and the birds were antlers, so this was the dream. And it came to pass.
Uh-huh.
Now, what caused the butler to remember Joseph?
The king was having bad dreams that he couldn't understand.
And what did the king say? Who did he call in to interpret his dreams?
All the magicians.
The magicians and the wise people. The wise people. And all in the land of Egypt to interpret. Were any of them able to interpret?
Successful.
No. That's almost like Daniel's situation, where Daniel was able to interpret dreams. So then the butler remembered, oh, there's a man named Joseph, one of the Hebrews. And so Pharaoh called for Joseph. What did Joseph do?
He told him.
What was the dream? What were the true dreams that Joseph had? I mean, that Pharaoh had. What was one?
About the family.
What was the dream that was dreamed about the family?
One animal was eating another animal.
Okay, there were the kine. What's the kine?
Cows.
All right. Seven fat ones. And what happened to the fat ones and the lean ones? They were eaten by the lean ones. So seven indicated how many? What?
Years.
7 years. As an illustration, an alliteration, people say that Iowa is the land of kine and
corn.
Corn and kine, see. Corn and kine, that's what they say. It's a nice alliteration, see. I don't know if that's true or false.
I never heard that.
Well, what's his name, who's got the, who died now?
Yeah.
He was the GRB National Representative. Can't even think of his name. Tassel. Paul Tassel was from Iowa, I think, originally, and he used at one time the GRB reference, you know, where the, it's a land of kine and corn and kine. Anyhow, I remember that. So the kine, there were seven kine that were good, seven kine that were bad, and what was the next dream he had? Another dream. The years of corn. Well, the bow down was before he ever went. That's why the brothers were envious, because this was the king there and so on. So, but the other one was what? It was the sheaves of wheat, wasn't it? The sheaves that was before he went to Egypt. They're bowing down. That's the end. All right. So occasionally we have callers, which is all right. What was the other dream? I'm just trying to think now. One was the kine, but there's the good ears and the bad ears. That's it. Not the bowing down, but the good ears and the bad ears. And the bad ears ate the good ears. Well-favored ears. And this was a picture that what? What was the interpretation of both dreams?
7 years.
7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. All right, and so it says here that he delivered him out of all his afflictions. When he was even in prison, what happened to him, Joseph? He was forgotten, but was he good or bad in prison?
He was good.
Was he promoted, even as a prisoner?
Yes.
He was in charge of all the prison. In other words, he was wherever he went, the Lord honored him and blessed him, and he was with him. That means we can be blessed and honored anywhere we are. And God can use us and exalt us, and he delivered all of his afflictions, gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh. What did Pharaoh do after he interpreted the dream? What was his suggestion to Pharaoh once the dream was interpreted? What did Joseph suggest?
Get a man to be in charge of it.
All right.
And he told him to store grain.
Okay, the 7 years, store the grain, so to be ready for the years of famine. And did Pharaoh think that was a bad idea or a good idea?
It was a good idea.
Good idea. And then he asked what question?
Would you be in charge of
okay,
this?
Who could we get better than this man that knows these interpretations? And so he appointed Joseph. So what did Joseph do during the seven plenteous years? Stored up food. What did we say in the message this morning? Go to the ant, Faust Logger. What does the ant do?
Stores
up food in the summer, in the harvest. And so he did. That was very wise. And what happened then in the seven lean years?
That there was enough.
There's a famine. There's enough for himself and other people came to Joseph. And what did they give him for the food?
Money.
When they ran out of money, what did they give him?
The property.
Property. When they ran out of property, what did they give him? Themselves, as slaves, see. And who in Israel, in Palestine, heard about this?
His brothers.
His brothers, and especially his father, Jacob. And there's plenty of corn down there. Go and find it. So that's what they did. Well, we don't want to get ahead of the story here, but in verse 8 and verse 9, figure in verse 10, I guess we are, they delivered him on his affliction, gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. That's a wonderful thing. Now, the question may be raised, is it right to have God's people helping ungodly people? Is it right to have God's people helping ungodly people if they're asked to help? Is it proper? We have to be careful of our separation as far as, you know, being close with them in ties, but here was a case of a call of Pharaoh, the unbeliever, worshiping false gods, to have a one who knew the God of Israel, who believed in the God of Israel, to assist him and help him. And God permitted it. God allowed it, didn't he? We've got to be careful. These are some questionable things. We've got to be very careful who we fellowship with, who we don't. But at least sometimes God permits us. Yes, Bonnie?
Well, many people have to work for unfaithful people.
Exactly.
And they're helping them in
that way. They're helping them in that way. And so this is certainly... let me ask you this. Did Joseph refuse the offer of favor?
No.
He did not.
No.
He accepted the offer. I will do it. God gave him wisdom. And God allowed him to spare the land and people and Israel. Jacob finally came with the 10 brothers, in fact the 11th brother, finally, to spare them and to save them alive. So God's hand was in this, wasn't it? And so he made a head over all his house. At verse 11, we're going to start there, Lord willing, next week. But do you have any comments or questions before we come? Yes, John?
During the time of Moses, Moses, when he discovered that he was an Israelite, he could have used his power as prince to help the Israelis in the way that Joseph did. Why did he choose to step down from his royal position when that was pretty much the same situation as with Joseph?
Who stepped down?
Moses.
Moses. Well, he was accused of, killing this... this Israelite, or at least the Egyptian rather, and he had to flee. So he left because he didn't think that they were being properly treated. That's why he stepped down. He was asked to, or if he fled for his life, they would have killed him. So that's Moses, different from Joseph. Any other comments? Yes, Tammy.
Another reason that Joseph may have gone to Egypt and God allowed that situation was that he wanted actually the Egyptians to glorify him. I mean, it says in Exodus 14, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord."
Yes.
And they did so.
That's
so
right.
They would have known.
To know that he was the Lord, the mighty, powerful God. That's right. That was a good testimony. Any other comments or questions before we close today?